Ron St. Germain. This is the Crystal Silence League Hour. For those of you who thought you were turning into Wrestle Talk or Hockey Today, hate to disappoint you. For those of you going to the radio for the little corner of hypno-spirituality, you've come to the right place. Tonight's program is Manifesting Mind, how to bring about into reality those things that lurk into the hidden and seamy recesses of your consciousness. So why don't you come back in just a minute, bring your crystal balls and or other shiny objects and a warm drink, because I don't know where you are, but boy, is it chilly here in Knoxville, Tennessee, where, of course, I dwell in spiritual splendor. Come on back in about a minute. I'll be right here. Hey, we're back. The Right Reverend John St. Germain here. And, you know, we have this mighty election year coming up. And, man, I don't know about you, but I sure will be glad when it's over. I've seen friends' throats, brother against sister, brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor. A very divisive year, but it gets that way every election year. Family against family. And I'm always reminded about my grandfather, who was a hardcore Republican in all of his life, and he hated Democrats. If you wanted to get on his bad side, just started talking liberal politics, and he would foam at the mouth. And on his deathbed, we gathered around on his deathbed, and I remember it well, and we said, Grandpa, do you have any last wishes? And he said, yeah, I want to become a Democrat. And we were amazed. We said, you've been a Republican all your life. You hate Democrats. Why, here on your deathbed, do you want to become a Democrat? And he said, better one of them should die than one of us. I wish I had a rim shot. You know, that's one of my favorite jokes, and I only get to tell it once every 4 years, but it's worth the wait. Tonight, Manifesting Mind, how to bring about reality. And we're going to go about this in my usual circumlocutious way. We're going to talk about the components that go into experiential reality before we even go into that. And why don't we start, of course, discussing our crystal of the week, which is Iolite. That's I-O-L-I-T-E, Iolite or Eolite. And Eolite is one of the angel stones, of which there are several. And if you really want to have a powerful little spirit bag, make you a bag of all the various angel stones and carry that with you and learn to use them. And Eolite is a purple stone, violet or purple, so it resonates with the third eye. And Eolite has a quality, and I don't know what the official term, I call it directional refraction. That means that when you turn it in different directions, it reflects light differently. So when you hold it in one direction, it's kind of a grayish color. You turn it in another direction, it's a very rich purple. And so it resonates with the third eye and the crown chakra. And if you have a very thin piece and it's polished, you can see through it. It's transparent. And it's a sort of polarizing lens. And various folklore says that the early mariners would use it so that they could always know where the sun was and use it for navigational purposes. I don't know how true that is, but I do know that some people can look through Eolite and they say they can see auras. And I had a friend, may he rest in peace, a local psychic who was very good. And he said he could see through Eolite and see a plume that came from the crown chakra. And he would see it in various colors through a piece of polished Eolite. But, you know, seeing that plume, which apparently was part of the human energy field, the aura, he could tell you various things about yourself. Eolite helps with conditions such as anxiety, depression, mental disorder, mental chaos, cloudiness of thought. It promotes clear thinking and psychic development of all kinds. It's especially good, I found, with addictive behaviors, and it helps uproot the causes of these addictive behaviors. We mentioned this in the book that I read, and you may have heard of it, Crystal Magic, Divination, Healing, and Spellcraft with Gems and Minerals by this shady character, Reverend Dr. John St. Germain. We discussed the use of eyelight and uprooting addictive behaviors. And some say it will actually help detoxify the body from the effects of alcohol and help reduce the effects of alcohol. Some people say if you wear it, it even reduces the effects of alcohol even as you drink it. In terms of health, eyelight may assist in the healing of conditions of the eyes. It can help with migraines and headaches. It can help with dizziness if you have dizzy spells. It can help with sinuses if you have allergies, fever. Some people think that it can actually help the liver recover from alcohol-related damages by helping it detox and heal. It can help stimulate your memory. As you get older, your memory may tend to slip. And it can help with insomnia. It can help with sleep disturbances and nightmares. Now, how you use eyelight, if you're using it to help balance or open the chakras, you place it over the third eye or over the crown chakra. Or you can wear it as a pendant. You can wear it as an amulet. You can hold it in your hands while you meditate. You can scry with it. You can use it as a scrying stone. You can peer through it at a candle flame. Or you can make an elixir of it. Now, if you do make an elixir, you have to use an indirect method because eyelight contains aluminum. Some people say that the aluminum will not diffuse into the water. I don't know. I don't know. It's listed as one of the stones you have to use with care because it does have aluminum in it. So I would use an indirect method, especially if you use water tinged with brandy, as many people like to do with their tonics. So I would use direct methods, not direct infusion, if I were using eyelight to make an elixir. It can be cleansed or discharged under running water. Since it's a darker stone, warm running water, you do it once or twice a month, I suppose. And you can recharge it in the sun or by putting it in rock quartz or blessed salt. Do you know how to use elixirs? Elixirs are very interesting. A lot of people think you just drink them, but you can also use them externally. You know, you can dab elixirs on the chakra points. You can also use it around your house. You can sprinkle elixir around your house. You can treat the areas, for instance, with eyelight. You can put it over the liver area. You can put it around the third eye, around the sinuses, around the afflicted areas. It can be used for pets. You know, if your animals are suffering from anxiety or depression, they can be bathed in the elixir. So these tonics and elixirs can be used externally as well. I know many people who use elixirs around the house. They can be used in feng shui. The tonics and elixirs can be used quite creatively. In fact, during meditation, you can put them on the third eye to enhance your meditation. They can be used in spell work on your altars. They can be used on your altars for devotional services. They can be used quite a bit, like conjure oils, in fact. And I have coming up in my next book on crystals, the Bach flower remedy tonics combined with crystal tonics. Certain crystals work very well with the Bach flower remedies, and we'll be discussing that at some point in the future. But that's eyelight, a very, very powerful and useful stone. And anyway, I hope you enjoyed that rambling discussion about eyelight. I enjoy these crystals. I do like them quite a bit. the powerful tools in your toolkit. This is the Crystal Silence League Hour, brought to you by the Crystal Silence League and LMC Radio Network. The Crystal Silence League, for those of you who aren't aware, was formed around 1917 by Mr. Claude Alexander Conlin, who, someone says, Bach is so expensive. In our chat room, Bach flower remedies are expensive. You can make them yourself, you know, and there is a way. Once you make them yourself, once you make a master batch, you can transfer the healing qualities to smaller batches. You can have a master batch because they're homeopathic. You can transfer them, and I'll talk about the Bach flower remedies. At some point, we'll do some programs about the Bach flower remedies and the crystal remedies as well. A lot of them you can make yourself. You have to be very careful when you make them because it's easy to do it incorrectly, but you can make a lot of them yourself. Although sometimes I guess it's better to get have them made by the professionals if you don't have the skill. Sometimes you can mess it up. Anyway, Crystal Silence League, founded in 1917 by Mr. Claude Alexander Conlin for the purpose of emanating and projecting positive prayer and affirmation for all those in need. And when Mr. Conlin passed into the silence around 1954 or so, he took the league with him until it was revived a few years ago by the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. In cybernetic form, miraculously reborn on the internet, on that thing called the interweb. And you can find us at www.crystalsilenceleague.org. And there, folks, if you go, you find many, many interesting things, including a gift shop where you can buy crystals and you can buy literature. And you can also find the prayer page, where you can post prayers. And prayers are always free at the Crystal Silence League. And we get lots of prayers, well over 100 a week, sometimes a couple of hundred a week. And the pastors, of which I am one, we print these out and we put them on our altars and we pray for you weekly. And we get all sorts of emails and letters and notes of people that say their prayers have come true. Not all prayers are answered. Sometimes this world is meant to test us, but many prayers are answered. And it's been my custom since we started this program 78 programs ago to read aloud some of these prayers. We maintain anonymity. No one's name is ever read out loud, but we do identify them by prayer ID. And I ask all of you to join us in prayer for the following individuals. So let's get started. And we have prayer ID number 55549. Who says, Dear God, Goddess of Venus, Holy Spirit, St. Martha, I ask for ease of mind and clear obstacles. And she says, These days I'm not feeling the confidence and faith. I'm losing momentum on the love I have for a person whose initials are YM. Please guide me through this, clear obstacles and overcome difficulties if we are meant to be. I ask humbly that you give me an ease of mind, pray that I'm not confused and discouraged. If you could show me a way, please let YM open up and take me into his world completely. In Jesus' name, amen. That's someone who knows how to pray. And we have prayer ID number 55548. He says, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee, amen. I'm totally disabled and live in public housing in Seattle. Some witches are attacking me because I stand for righteousness. They are I and G, who live at a certain place in Seattle. Please place ministers of grace and protection around me, the subject of attack. Amen. And then we have prayer ID number 55546. Please may I ask for a prayer that my surgery will go well. I wish everyone the best and that you all have health and happiness. Thank you. Amen. And prayer ID number 55545, who says, I often wake up in the middle of the night for no reason. Sometimes I have a weird or bad dream before or afterward. It's usually around 2 or 3 a.m. every night. I am wide awake and frustrated because I wake up at 6 a.m. for work. I pop 6 or 7 melatonin pills to get back to sleep. Then I'm very tired throughout the day and drink coffee. Please pray for peaceful sleep. Thanks. Amen. And we have prayer ID number 55544, who says, I thank my spirit guides for helping me. I pray for abundance to get me through this time period without unneeded stress. Thank you for your prayers with me. Amen. And we have prayer ID number 55543, who says, I wish for me and my ex to be able to sort things out and for the people to stop trying to spread rumors about me and for her to call me or text me. And there's a name here I will not read. My name is Jay and she is Jay. Thank you so much. Amen. Prayer ID number 55542, who prays for removal of curses and says, help. Can you help me with a lot of negative energies around the house and pray for my boys? Amen. Prayer ID number 55541, who says, Dear Jesus, thank you for keeping me real. I accept my financial abundance that you bestow unto me because I am responsible to you. Thank you for guiding me and protecting me as I navigate these newfound waters. I appreciate all my guardian angels and spirit guides, and I promise to always do right by you. Thank you for blessing me with many gifts. When you do so, I get to bless others. Amen. There's someone who knows how to pray. That's a gratitude prayer. We love those. Prayer ID number 55540. I pray that I have financial abundance so that my bills are paid on time. My basic needs are met so that I can buy food and other things I need. I pray that I always have money in my pocket, that my son is well taken care of. I only pray so that I can be comfortable within my environment, but also comfortable if I need to help someone else. I can give it without taking away from a bill. Amen. Prayer ID number 55539. To rekindle a relationship, I pray that RC comes back to me willing to work out our relationship. Let him not be confused with our relationship, that he knows that I am here for him, that he understands and knows I would never hurt him. I pray that the angels guide him back to me so that we can start a family. I pray that he calls or comes to see me. We've been separated for 2 months and 3 weeks. Amen. And here we have prayer ID number 55537. Dear pastors, please request for Almighty God to let the following people in upstream procurement services in mobile procuring, mobile producing Nigeria Unlimited, to let D, J, A, B, A, E, N, these are a whole bunch of people, N, M, R, J, award greasing of valves at MPM offshore field locations to Sudex Nigeria Limited. Thank you, God, for answering my prayer. Amen and amen. Okay, somebody needs a contract, apparently. Prayer ID number 55536. I pray that the bond and relationship between me and C will be mended and healed. Our communication and love will be repaired. We'll be back together stronger than before. I pray that God will remove all bad, I pray that God will remove all bad influences and obstacles, such as W, who is a distraction that's preventing us from moving forward. I pray that our relationship will be more open and honest, and that as God lead us into marriage, there will be blessings and protection. Amen. I almost used God's initial G, but we can name God on here. It's okay. Prayer ID number 5553. God is not anonymous. 55535. Please pray for me to save my home from foreclosure. I'm about to be homeless. I need all your prayers. I am sick and cannot work and have no place to go. Please pray for me and God bless you. Amen. Isn't it a shame that people lose their homes over illness and that these heartless people will evict people who are sick and ill and we don't have recourse? It's a shame. It is a crying shame. Prayer ID number 55534. To apparently there's some problem with curses reconnect lost connections that are needed, restore them to their rightful selves, heal sight and sound issues, and undo all generational and personal curses. Please provide all those in need and comfort, those in pain, in suffering, and love, those who feel unloved. Amen. And we have prayer ID number 55535. Please pray that God blesses me with the money to pay my light bill. My lights are about to be disconnected due to non-payment of bill. It was either pay my elderly father's utility bill or mine, and I chose to make sure he had lights. So now mine's supposed to be cut off today. Pray that my lights stay on and don't get turned off, and that I get the money to pay the bill and be blessed with a good paying job permanently. Amen. Prayer ID number 55532. Please pray for the uncrossing, unbinding, peace, and healing of my family. We have been negatively impacted by root work. Sadly, my aunt and members of our former church appear to be the culprits, motivated by jealousy. My mother's skin is turning black, and she has lost work. My father has lost weight and barely eats. Doctors can find nothing wrong. I've lost a great job that allow me to support them during the ordeal. There's no money to seek help. Please pray for our restoration. I think, sir, you should check our pro bono program in AIR. Go to AIRR and our AIR program and check our pro bono program and see if you can get some help. Prayer ID number 55531. Please pray that our cat Sully, you can name a cat's name, please pray that our cat Sully be healed and restored to health. He's in the animal hospital and is in dire need of help. Please pray that he be healed. Amen. And we have prayer ID number 55529. Please pray for JD. He will be homeless as of October 30th. He needs a place to live, strength and determination to keep going, and wisdom and insight into how to take care of himself. Please pray that his mother or some other relative or childhood friend takes him in so he is not on the street. Amen. And prayer ID number 55528. Please pray for my sleep. I have very bad insomnia now. I have a hard time falling asleep at night, and it's really not good. Not good for my skin, acne, and everything. Please pray that I get to sleep well and have good dreams. Amen. And prayer ID number 55527. Who prays? Father, I humbly come before you now, asking you to bless my relationship with AJM. Lord, help him overcome his doubts and trust issues from the past and replace it with healing and love. May we have open communication about our fears and hopes in this relationship. Give us an atmosphere filled with love and blessings. Please remove manipulation and deception and fill his heart with the truth and goodness of who I am. I declare Psalm 91 over our lives. I claim this victory in Jesus' name. Amen. I love it when people know how to pray. Prayer ID number 55526. I need a job, and my social anxiety keeps holding me back from looking for one. Please pray for me to find a job and for me to gain the confidence to get it. Amen. And we have prayer ID number 55524, who says, Mother, Father God, praying that my child support hearing will be judged in the favor of my son, and his child support payments will increase, praying for peace and protection. Amen. And let's have one more. I want to find a prayer ID number 55516. Will you please pray for me? I have a medical test in about a week. Will you please pray for me that the results will show that I am healthy and free of illness? Thank you for your prayers. I really appreciate your prayers for me. Thank you. I want to do this last one too. Prayer ID number 55512. Please stop the fraud officer doing the interview and get the case closed and no action to be taken against me. Thanks. Amen. Let's have a moment of silence for all those in need of prayer and positive affirmation. Amen. I'm feeling the Spirit tonight. I'm filled with the Spirit tonight. I do feel the Spirit. I feel like we're doing good work. We're sending out good and positive waves of spiritual energy to the world. We notice lots of people are losing their homes. Lots of people are having relationship problems. We need to send out healing energies. We need to get people back on their feet, get people started. We're talking about manifesting tonight. We're talking about getting stuff out there that's in our minds. We're talking about bringing ourselves into a better state than we are now. And what gets me started about this, there's a verse from the Dhammapada that's often misquoted and misused by motivational speakers. It was one of the verses that you find in one of the sayings you find in The Secret, a book that I take great delight in reviling. It's the first verse in the Dhammapada. It's verse 1. And I'm going to give it to you. It is a manopu bagama dhamma manosetha manoyama manasake purutena basati vakaroti va tato nam dukkha manaveta kakam va vahato padam. And that's quite often misquoted or misused. And I'm going to tell you that in plain English, all mental phenomena have mind as their forerunner. They have mind as their chief. They are mind made. If one speaks or acts with an evil mind, dukkha follows him just as the wheel follows the hoofprint of the ox that draws the cart. Now, that's very specific. Dukkha, which we know is sometimes called suffering, unsatisfactoriness, anguish, pain, misery. It's something that's always with us. It's either a low level of restlessness or dissatisfaction to absolute misery. It's the quality that's always present in the world. If one speaks or acts with an evil mind, this suffering will follow you, just as the wheel follows the hoofprint of the ox that draws the cart. Why is that so specific? You know, why isn't it, dukkha will follow you just as the cart follows the hoofprint of the ox that draws the cart. There's a reason that's so specific. And so what we find when we examine this and we look at commentaries about it is that all mental phenomena have mind as the forerunner. Mind is the most dominant, and it's the cause of everything else. The other three phenomena, feeling, perception, and mental formations. And all of these have mind or consciousness, which is vijnana, as a forerunner, because although they arise simultaneously, nothing can arise without mind as the cause. So when we have this mind as the forerunner, volition follows it, which is and after volition arises, the performance of volitional actions, both good and evil, occur. So, but without mind, there cannot be anything else. Everything that occurs in this world, mind is the forerunner. And when we start getting into that, we have to look at experience itself. And we have to first examine what we're manifesting and why we're trying to manifest it. Now, in New Thought, which is the basis of Mr. Conlon's work, William Walker Atkins, many of the New Thought people, Napoleon Hill, this goes unexamined a lot of times. You know, what are we manifesting? Oh, I want prosperity. I want love. I want a house. I want a car. And that's as far, that's conventional reality. That's as far as we need to go. And we never really look past that sometimes, but I think it's necessary that we do. We examine experience itself, and is what we're trying to manifest really good for us? Is it really good for us? And we send out waves of prosperity. We say, I want prosperity. We enter the place of causation in our minds. We do a projection. We look in the crystal. We send out prosperity. And a lot of times that's all we need to do. And if we do this correctly, then divine mind, the mechanism takes over and will on its own create the means whereby that prosperity comes to us. You know, you don't walk down the street and a bag of money drops out of the sky and hits you in the head. Things, reality realigns itself so that whatever it is you do, you know, in my case, I'm a spiritual counselor, a root worker, a spell worker, more clients, and the correct clients, you know, the clients find you. If you operate a business, the clients that are appropriate to your business find you. If you looking for a job, the job that suits you becomes available to you. The means and opportunities open up to you. Reality shifts on its axis where things did not happen for you before. They begin to happen. This manifestation occurs. And why does this happen? Okay. Let's look at something called panpsychism. And this is a word I'd like you to keep in mind. And panpsychism, in a nutshell, is the view that consciousness, mind, soul, psyche, whatever you want to call it, is a universal feature of everything, which means that human beings, conscious human beings, consist of mind. You and I consist of mind, but we are minds in a universe of mind. So it's a very old theory. It goes back to the ancient Greeks, Plato, or panpsychists. And so the Stoics and Buddhists, certain schools of Buddhists believed in panpsychism. And panpsychism is one of the fundamental premises of philosophy of mind. Now, there's like two schools of philosophy of mind. There's logical positivism and panpsychism. But panpsychism is the idea that everything has consciousness, that it is a fundamental component of the universe, like gravity, strong and weak forces, mass. And the reason it's believed in Buddhism that this was taught is that Buddhists had consciousness, manas as it's called, the quality of awareness, you know, that which cognizes, that which is aware, goes back to beginningless time. And nobody knows the beginning of it, which seems to imply that this is a fundamental component of the universe, that consciousness is. And so if we're going to look at this idea of panpsychism, that everything is conscious and aware, that it's just an intrinsic part of the universe, then it responds. It's aware. Everything. It's a primordial quality of everything. Now, when we look at panpsychism in the 20th century and 21st century, this opens up the problem of experience itself, which is known as the hard problem of consciousness. And that reopened the popularity, because panpsychism kind of laid low. And you know who's a panpsychist? Philip Pullman, who wrote The Golden Compass, his dark instruments series, the Golden Compass series. He's a panpsychist, and that turns up in those books, as a matter of fact. So the very earliest forms of this was very mystical, and as it becomes more and more rational, we find the breakdown of experience itself. And the hard problem, you know, there's a hard problem and an easy problem of consciousness, but consciousness as a fundamental quality, we have to look to the philosopher David Chalmers. who argued very rationally that conscious experience is a fundamental quality of the universe itself. And he coined a term that is a kind of a subhead of panpsychism as pan-experientialism. So Chalmers asked a question that, why is there a rich inner life? Why do we experience blue? Why do we experience notes and music, you know, C sharp and B flat? Why do we experience these? So because of this, he says that consciousness must be described using non-physical terms. Therefore, there's got to be some ingredient of clarifying inner experience that does not depend on physical means. So it's necessary to explain certain functions of the world itself, of the universe itself, just like mass and time. Just like mass and time, however, in a non-physical quality. So, so imagine the problem there. Since experiences are essentially subjective, which means that they're only accessible to the person, you know, the individual experiencing them, and physical states are objective, which means that everybody can experience them. So there's no way that that anybody can even prove that anyone else is having an experience, right? I can't prove that you're having an experience. I can't even prove to you that I'm having an experience. So how do you do this? So this whole thing comes up into a paradox. And that is that the human mind, as it exists now, will never be able to explain consciousness. So that's the hard problem of consciousness. Now, some philosophers oppose the whole idea of the hard problem. They say there is no hard problem, and it will be. They say that there is an easy problem, and consciousness is not a fundamental feature of the universe. It's just a natural phenomenon, that it's not non-physical, that it arises from matter. And so if that's the case, then consciousness is a chimera. If that's the case and consciousness arises from matter, it's very easy to explain. But it doesn't explain experience. You know, why is there experience? There's no purpose for experience. There's no purpose for it. So we have experience. We experience love, hate, desire. We experience these various states. We experience blue. And, you know, when I say we experience blue, it's not that we just look at blue and say that's blue. Blue arouses experience within us. Red arouses experience in us. Art, poetry, the note, C sharp, B flat, G flat minor. These are experiences. And so why is there experience? And this is the hard problem of consciousness. And this is why panpsychism is a very important concept. This is why many, many philosophers, John Locke, David Hume, many, Plato himself, modern philosophers today, people who are involved in philosophy of mind, take this very seriously. Is the universe sentient? Is the earth under our feet sentient? Is your chair sentient? Is all matter sentient? And some people say that matter has to become large enough or complex enough to develop sentience. Some people say that it's just a quality of the universe, mass, time, electromagnetism, consciousness. Dwell on that for a minute. So Why is this important for manifestation? Well, you send out this desire, this thought. I want this. What's responding? It's easy enough to say, well, God is responding. You know, I send a prayer out, God answers. Well, you know, why does God answer your prayer and not, you know, the guy next to you? You know, well, God works in mysterious ways. You know, these answers are not satisfactory. But, you know, for many people, it's enough. You know, I won the lottery, he didn't. You know, for many people, you know, why did I get prosperity? Well, you know, I'm lucky, he's not. You know, these are not satisfactory answers. You know, well, you know, so, I dodged that bullet. You know, man, I'm glad. You know, we just saw a bunch of prayers from people. You know, please, I don't want to lose my home. You know, please pray I don't lose my home. Please, I don't want to get my power cut off. You know, some of those people, their prayers will be answered. Yeah, you know, my words, God's ears, I hope none of them lose their home. You know, we pray desperately that they all will be, their prayers will be answered. But we know that of those hundreds of prayers that we got, everybody's prayers can't be answered. Why some and not others? You know, who's answering these prayers? You know, why can some people manifest and others can't? Why does some manifestation occur and others don't? You know, the cynic would say it's just luck. You know, it's chance. But many of us know. Many of us know that it's not just chance. Many of us know that manifestation does happen, will happen, and can happen. Let's take us a station identification and come back and talk about some of the tools of manifestation.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rural Power with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All times Pacific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And as always, our high speed introduction to all of our new shows. If we add any more new shows, that's going to sound amazing. Now, if you understand the law of attraction, you understand one of the underlying principles of new thought. But we know that most proponents of the law of attraction, they don't understand the true power of mind, to manifest, and that is that mental states can really change reality. And most law of attraction gurus, in my experience, they seem to teach wish fulfillment. You know, you wish for something, and if you wish hard enough, it's going to happen. But wishing is a passive activity. There's no real conviction behind it. And this is why most people who practice law of attraction get small results for their efforts or even non-existent. And this is because mechanically reciting affirmations and desires brings only about limited rewards. It's a passive activity. And most of the motivational trainers and coaches I've known have only scratched the surface of that potential power that's available through the proper practice of mental induction. So the fundamental principle of manifestation is that mental states manifest in daily life. Thoughts become real. Now, in practice, it's a little more complicated. First of all, understand this is not a metaphor. It's not a metaphor. It's very real. If you successfully change your mental programming, you will find reality changes around you. Your luck improves. Prosperity increases. You attract better friends and lovers. People who didn't notice you existed before suddenly treat you with respect. Your boss will notice you. Your decisions magically become better. And you're not a victim of fate anymore. You're a master of fate. And I want to tell you I want to draw some stuff about this. There is many stories come out of Tibet about masters of mental discipline. And there's legends about people who can become invisible. And Alexandra David Neal, who traveled all over Tibet and witnessed many of these and wrote about them in many of her books, learned some of the secrets of invisibility. And she said that one of the masters of invisibility said, you don't become literally invisible. You know, light does not bend around your body. You don't become transparent. But these folks can become so still in mind and body that they become unnoticeable, that their mind and body, and this is important, mind as well, the mind and body become so still that they become unnoticeable. They're so still in mind. Mind is utterly at rest. Body is utterly at rest that they are not manifesting anything. And no one sees them. It's not that they are visibly invisible, you know, visibly invisible, non-visible. They're non-noticeable. And I will tell you that because I've meditated so much that I have done this. I've stood right next to somebody and they've turned around and walked into me. And, you know, I'm a 200-pound man, and sometimes I've worn a red shirt and people have just turned around and walked right into me because I've been so very quiet and very still. And I've not done it on purpose. It's just that if I'm standing in line or something, I'll just go inside and I'll be thinking about something. I'll just shut down and go inside. And when this occurs, my aura will contract and I'm not manifesting. And I breathe very quietly when I do that, very shallowly. And I'm not of this world anymore. And someone will turn around and walk right into me. Boom. And they'll go, oh, my God, I didn't see you there. And I always apologize. I say, it's okay. I know I'm hard to see. And, you know, they'll laugh because, you know, I'm a big guy and I'll be wearing a red shirt. And so I know this principle. I know this principle. And I'm not saying I'm a master of this skill, but I've accidentally done it. I've accidentally slipped into a non-noticeable state. And so I remember when I was reading this, I said, yeah, I understand this. I understand becoming so quiet and so still that you become unnoticeable. You're not manifesting. And so the opposite can be true as well. You can manifest so loudly that that's all you do is get attention. You know, you're sucking up attention, and we all know people like that. So if you can control your manifestation, you can control your manifestation, this is better. And I'm going to tell you that some of the secrets of this is regularity. One of a very good starting points in this, and this is so hard for many people, regular habits. Have a routine. Get up at the same time every day. Go to bed at the same time every night. This was recommended by Mr. Conlon, and I didn't realize the power of this until I started doing it myself. Have a checkpoint at the midpoint of the day. Like at noon, stop at noon, have some tea, have some coffee, you know, whatever, and stop and collect yourself. Don't be overwhelmed by what's going on around you, by the activity. Don't lose your focus. Have a routine. And if you get knocked off your routine, don't panic. Just return to it when you can. And I've advised my clients over and over and over, the ones who say, I feel scattered. I feel panicky. I feel like I'm losing myself. I feel like I need focus. I feel like I need clarity. I'll say, make yourself follow this routine. Get up at the same time every day, go to bed at the same time every night, have a checkpoint throughout the day. And you really should have more than one. You know, if you work 9 to 5, you know, even if you're self-employed, you know, when you're self-employed, it's very easy to get off a schedule. It's very easy to get off a schedule. You know, you get up when you feel like it, you stay up all night, you go out and party with your friends, it's very easy, but that's where discipline comes in. Get on a schedule. And you know, people say, well, I want to be on a schedule. I just, you know, have a job. You know, some of the, one of the best things for some people is to have an employer. You know, someone makes them get up at a certain time. They go home at a certain time. They have lunch at a certain time. For some people, that's the best thing for them. Wasn't for me. But, you know, I went self-employed sometime around the first Clinton administration. But wasn't for me. Well, you know, working for somebody else wasn't for me. But, you see, I am very disciplined. I've been in business for a long time. And one of the secrets of longevity in business is discipline. And you know what focus is? Focus is discipline. And discipline is focus. Focus. Same time, have a checkpoint in the day where you stop and sit, have some tea, have your lunch, or just sit and breathe and say, where am I now in my mind? Where am I now? And don't let anybody take that away from you. And then at the end of the day, it's the end of the day. You know, this is what you have to do. And once you start doing this, you'll find that your mind is very focused and your clarity starts to become very good. And when this occurs, you will have more time. You're more productive. You're much less scattered than you know, people who seem to have things going in every direction. And if you have many projects going, you order them. You know, you don't run from project. You order them. You have, this is my time I'm doing this project. This is my time I'm doing this project. And this will help you manifest. Now, the next thing that's necessary, once you have your schedule in place, is know what you're going to schedule. And, you know, make a list if necessary. You know, people say, man, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. If you feel like you don't have time, I invite you to look up, and the keywords that you want to look up would be Team Hoyt, H-O-Y-T, Team Hoyt. And if you look up Team Hoyt, you will find a remarkable story about a father-son team. When the boy was born, he was born with multiple handicaps, and the doctor said he should go to an institution. But the father said, parents said, no, we're going to raise him. And in fact, I could probably just find that story. So the boy grew up. The parents raised their son, and he was, I believe, a quadriplegic. And but he wanted to enter the decathlon, the Special Olympics decathlon. So the father, who, by the way, was working three jobs to pay for the treatment that his son needed, trained with his son to do this decathlon, which was grueling. And when he did this, they won many medals. So don't tell me you don't have time. You know, never tell me that you don't have time. With let's see, I'm gonna try to find this story because I know I've bookmarked it somewhere. Okay, yes, Dick Hoyt. Dick Hoyt, he was dealt a hard hand of cards. Yeah, his son was Rick. He was born a spastic quadriplegic with cerebral palsy due to an umbilical cord wrapped around his neck. The doctors told Rick and his wife, Nancy, that they would be unable to care for their son and they should put him in an institution. Dick and Nancy opted to take care of their child. This is in one of my books I wrote. So Dick took two extra jobs to help pay for the medical expenses. And when Rick was in high school, he told his dad he wanted to run in a marathon to support one of his friends. How do you intend to do that, Dick? Dick asked his son. Well, Dad, Rick said, you'll push me. So Dick Hoyt, who already worked three jobs, found the time to train with his son for a marathon. After they finished this task, Rick decided he wanted to train with his dad for a triathlon, and they did. A triathlon is a grueling 19-hour event involving swimming, running, and bicycling, and Dick Hoyt did this pulling and pushing his son along with him. And, you know, you can read about him online if you like. And this is one of my books I wrote. And the reason I bring this up It's a man who worked three jobs, cared for a handicapped son, and still found time to train for an Olympic-class event. So there's no excuse for any of us not to spend the time and effort necessary to learn anything we want, to learn our craft. And whenever I hear anybody whining about, well, I don't have time, I don't have time to practice, I don't have time to read, I don't have time to learn this stuff, man, I'll stab you in the eye with a steady work candle. I don't want to hear that. look at Dick and Rick Hoyt, look them up. And I think there's videos of them. What a great story, great love of father and son. And anytime I feel in my life, I think I'm too tired to do that, I don't have time to do that, I just say, get up off your ass, old man. Yes, you do. People say, man, I see people on Facebook, I wish I had time to do that. But man, wasn't Game of Thrones great last night? Wasn't The Walking Dead great last night? Wasn't all these Bloody Mary great last night? And I say, but you don't have time to learn these things you want to learn, but you got time to keep up with these crappy shows. Got time to watch TV and escape into a fantasy world, but you don't have time to manifest in the real world. So, there you go. And sure, if you have time for some downtime, that's fine. But don't tell me you don't have time to manifest if you're spending time, watching Spider-Man or X-Men or Thor and stuff like this, and tell me you don't have time. You do have time. You're just electing to spend it escaping from manifesting. Yes, you have time. You have time. Don't tell me you don't have time, because you do have time, unless you're working, five jobs or something. Here's a man, three jobs, raising a handicapped child, and trained for an Olympic class event. Now, he wasn't a Superman. He's a regular man like us. So I don't want to hear you don't have time. Next week, we're going to continue this discussion, how to manifest, how to increase your energy, how to focus your mind, how to throw it out in the world, how to use crystal ball projections, how to tap into that universal consciousness. Are we a fragment of that consciousness? Are we borrowing from it? Do we join it when we die? Lots of questions like this that bring us, that just bring that. Let's do all that. So let's go out with a little bit of nice music and bring it down a notch, because I get excited when I talk about this. I hope that everybody listening to the show gets inspired to do something great.